much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on the FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, what you got to do, you text me, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joining us now, he is a candidate for county commission here in Baldwin County, but more importantly, for the sake of this discussion, the former DHS agent, special agent, Angelo Fermo joins us on the line. Angelo, how are you?
I'm doing good this morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. Well, I've seen a lot of sort of, I don't know, you know, everything Trump does is bad, bad, bad. And you know, the fact checkers are out there and they're, the Venezuelans really weren't that involved in the drug trade. Sure, there was some of that going on, but it's overblown by the Trump administration. What say you?
But look, so I love that they're protesting in the streets and all this. I mean, it's almost comical. It's overblown by the drug trade. There is more dope coming out of cocaine coming out of Venezuela and Colombia than you could imagine, especially in Venezuela, since there is no oversight. At least the U.S. government has a footprint within Colombia, and we have a strong presence there. I think DEA has an enormous amount of agents. We at HSI, I think we probably have somewhere in Bogota and Cartagena, we probably have a total of maybe 20 to 25 agents. DEA probably has 80 on the ground there, not to mention our special operations centers that there with the FBI, and you have some other military entities that are operating there at the embassy in Bogota. But in Venezuela, it's like no man's land. Once you go over there, it's just wide open for the trafficking. There was lots of times that we were operating on our projects with the drug smuggling boats that were coming out of there. They would literally build the boats in Colombia, then move them over to this little area right on the other side of Venezuela, and we were monitoring them. And they build the boats in Colombia, move them to Venezuela, where they would load the drug boats up, and then they would shoot them up to the Caribbean. And I'm not talking about one or two boats. There's times they would have, you know, 10 to 20 boats built, ready to go. And that's these boats that they're, you know, Trump and them are blowing up, and they're claiming that they're just fishermen out for a fishing route. And that's all a big facade. I mean, we know as the U.S. government, which boats, I mean, we're using wiretaps, we're using satellites, we're tracking GPS devices, we're tracking sat phones. We have all that information. So when you see Trump and them blow up one of these, what we call go fast boats, we have pretty solid intel that there are drugs on those boats. And I'm not talking 1 or 2 kilos. We're talking thousands of kilos that are heading up to the Caribbean. That's just one entity of their operation. They're also moving airplanes out of there loaded with cocaine throughout, you know, the southern and Central Americas. They're also loading up cargo containers of ships that are bound. They're coming up to Houston, Texas, or they're going to the Panama. And a lot of times some of these container ships are loaded with thousands of kilos of cocaine going to Europe. What people don't see from the backside of, you know, stuff that we don't really, you know, they're not publicizing or talking about is even the large thousands of kilos that we have information on through source information and through, you know, the other means of that the government's using, that these loads of cocaine are going to Europe. A lot of times I saw when I was working in the operations, they were going to Spain, they were going to France, or they were going to the UK. Well, a lot of times the U.S. government shares that information with our allies overseas, and in return, we as the United States move to the top of the list when we call that country for assistance. Because say, for example, a container ship comes out of Spain with, you know, 10,000 keys of coke, and it gets interdicted in Spain. Well, every time our agency calls Spain, they're going to take our phone call, and it goes to the top of the list. So this idea that, you know, Venezuela wasn't involved in as much drugs as it is laughable at anything. I mean, I was running source operations with my team in Colombia. At one point, I think we had 28 informants. You know, a majority of them were Colombian informants. But a lot of times when they would go to negotiate their cocaine trafficking deals, they would go to a little town called Cucuta, which is right on the border of Venezuela, and then they would negotiate deals with the Venezuelan entities, drug traffickers in that country, about moving cocaine. And ultimately, a lot of that cocaine is destined to the United States in one fashion or another that's coming up. I mean, it's a supply and demand at all costs. But the one thing I found interesting is you look at another aspect of what Venezuela was doing. They had direct lines, because when we were also working on some of our operations regarding military equipment, so some of these countries like Iran and stuff are trying to, some of the stuff we talked on the show before, they're trying to get some of their items out of the United States that the U.S. sold them way back in the 70s, jet fighter parts, military equipment. It's all trying to flow through to Venezuela and Venezuela over there. They have the flights from Tehran to Venezuela. The Iranians aren't flying into Venezuela because they want a vacation there. They're flying in there because they have ease of access to operate, unchecked by any entity, and that's why you see a Hezbollah entity within the country of Iran.
Talk about this, though, and you talk about the presence there. To me, Venezuela is a weak, failed state, but it was just the door was wide open for some kind of, one of our adversaries to get a foothold there. And I think that as much as the minerals and the drug trade and any of that is a part of this, that had a large part. I mean, you don't want China or somebody getting a foothold there.
You're exactly right, and it's kind of the perfect storm, and I guess we'll see. History will decide whether or not this was a good move or not, but if you look at it, Russia had a big foothold there. The Chinese were there just a few days ago, and I think some of them were still there when they removed Maduro, but those are not our allies. The Chinese were recently trying to take over entities of the Panama Canal, and if they would have controlled that, they'd have basically controlled what comes in and out of the Panama Canal. And it's all tied into that Central and South America entity. If Russia, the only reason I think that Trump was able to move at ease into Venezuela is Russia's tied up in this year-long war with Ukraine. The resources are stretched thin. They can't come to the rescue of Venezuela. And China, for their own salvation of their own selves, kind of just has stayed out of that whole system in its entirety. You look at what Venezuela supplied to Cuba. There's drugs flowing straight into Cuba, and I can guarantee you that if you ask any person that's probably one of your listeners that has a deep knowledge of the intel community, there's no telling how many U.S. listing devices, Russian and Chinese listing devices are targeting U.S. entities out of Cuba. So it's all connected, and it's not in the best interest of the United States.
Well, with Venezuela, seemingly off the table, do these operations move to Cuba, to Colombia? I mean, like, they will go somewhere, I would assume.
Well, as far as, like, your drug operations and your cartel.
Right, yeah.
They're heavily entrenched. When I was down in Colombia, we were spending a lot of time down there, for several years, and most of it, obviously the cocaine is produced in Ecuador and Colombia, and then, also in parts of Venezuela. You have the FARC, which is basically a military entity that's moving, tons of cocaine. They're designated as a terrorist organization. All you're going to do is, it's like stomping an anthill. They're just going to move their operations into another country, or they're going to lay low for a while and kind of see what shakes out in Venezuela. Can they continue to operate at will? Colombia, for the longest time, I know Trump's having some issues within Colombia right now, but from my personal, experience with it, Colombia was a great resource because the Colombians that I dealt with in the narcotics world, within the cartels themselves, they were actually nervous to get arrested in Colombia because we have a great extradition policy with them. We can extradite straight out of Colombia you're seeing a lot of prosecutions in, the New York and Miami, in those areas. And so the Colombians are kind of, scared of that process itself. And then also, as far as a lot of the Colombian narcotics people are putting their, they're not just all into the drug business. They're diversifying just like any other business entity into different products. And if the U.S. sanctions some of those entities that they've got investments in, it hurts them. So a lot of the Colombians, from what my experience was, were easy to deal with. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of corruption within the military government there. There's a lot of, you don't know, when we were dealing with people, I always went into it as, is this person that I'm dealing with, are they corrupt? Are they getting bribed? For example, one time we had a shipment of, it was like a couple thousand keys of cocaine going on a container out of Colombia to Panama. The ship leaves. I coordinate with the Colombian government. Everybody gives me the green light. We're moving the cocaine. And then, you know, you talk about a situation where you have one of those moments like, what's going to happen? I mean, I literally get a call on a Friday at 5 o'clock from the boat captain of this cargo container. And she tells me, she says, Angelo, the Panamanian military has been called to board my boat by the Colombian military, the same Colombian military that I was coordinating with, basically tried to interdict the whole thing. And the only difference was we were already working with the Panamanian government itself. So I had to call my counterpart in Panama, and who had to call the ambassador to the Panama for the United States, and they had to literally pull the military back off that boat, because the Panama has a situation where if they seize cocaine, everybody gets arrested, which means that anybody that was we had on that boat would have basically been a death sentence from the cartel. But it goes to show you how all that whole region is operating together. And it crosses lines. It's not like, oh, this is Venezuela and this is Colombia and this is Panama. It's moved the drugs at all costs. And Venezuela, of course, is a route that we had no visibility into. Over the course of my years dealing with it, and maybe a 10-year span, sometimes the U.S. would have a presence in Venezuela, and then sometimes it was shut down for years. And then we'd be back on, and we would be limited in the role of it, what we could do in Venezuela as far as, because you couldn't trust anybody in that country. So overall, it's a great move, in my opinion, but the question is what comes next?
Well, let's talk about what comes next. Well, before we get to what comes next, I mean, the it's funny watching the expected response from the Democrats and the institutional left and all these protests, but like, you were there for, I don't think that the Venezuela situation really differed from president to president until now that it's in vogue to be sort of pro Maduro. But prior to the sort of first few drug boat strikes, didn't it seem to you like the Republicans and Democrats generally agreed that, especially in administrations policy wise, that Maduro needed to go?
Oh, yeah. Look, he's not even recognized by over 60 countries as the legitimate president of that country. He was a dictator. Everybody knows that he was. And let's not forget, that the indictment here came out of the Southern District of New York under the Biden administration. So you don't indict the president of the semi-president of Venezuela, and that information doesn't go all the way up to the White House and the head of DOJ for approval. Biden's entire administration knew of that indictment. His head of DOJ knew of that indictment, and it all was coordinated. I mean, that's not just like us here in Mobile going to indict a president of a company and forgetting to tell, Washington about what we did. You don't even get to go into the grand jury and present that indictment without the White House signing off on it. So the past administrations, even going back to Obama and prior to that, I mean, we've been dealing with Maduro since, 98, 99. So it's no shocker that, he's a bad actor to any administration. It goes back to just what you said. It's the fact that Trump did it. He's taken an aggressive approach because what we've been doing over the past 20 to 30 years wasn't working. I explained on one of the other shows we had here, Jeff, that, look at the operations and the manpowers that we put into working with JIATF, which is the Coast Guard entity in the Gulf, interdicting these boats. And at the end of the day, we were just, like I said before, we were stacking cocaine up on a table. Everybody's taking trophy shot pictures, but we weren't getting anywhere. The boats are coming every day to the Caribbean. And it's some of our counterparts in the Caribbean that we're working with. The Dominican Republic is a strong ally that's helping us down there for their government and stuff. But at the same time, it's just a wave of stuff and nothing was changing. So I support an approach because if it does go this route, let's see what happens this direction, because what we've been doing for 20 to 30 years isn't working.
Well, and we'll wrap it up on this. What happens next? I guess it's pretty clear that the drug cartels really were dealt a blow with Maduro being captured here. But, I mean, getting a hold on that situation, I mean, what's your assessment? Like, how do you think that – what does Venezuela look like from this point forward?
I think with him being removed, it takes a big blow to the cartel itself. Now, you're going to have Russia and China, obviously. They don't want to lose that access to the oil and the influence in this region. You're going to see them try to come to something. You know, maybe it looks like something like that happened in Syria, where now the U.S. has a more, you know, a bigger place at the table determining what's going on in that country. It'll be interesting to see what transpires. It seems like Trump, you know, is maybe trying to work with the vice president of that country at some point to do some open elections, and maybe the next time they'll actually, you know, honor the election and the person that wins. I mean, I think the last gentleman that won, he's hiding out in Spain somewhere. So, you know, that's the steps. And this is going to be a long process into Venezuela, but I'm very happy about it. I think, you know, we could have something very successful down there. And at some point, maybe it mirrors that of what we have in Colombia. You know, it's not always going to be great, because when you're dealing with a $1 billion industry in drugs, they're just not going to let that go. They're going to continue because they have ports there. They need routes to that. But ultimately, what we look at is, hey, did we shut down a direct line from Iran, which is one of our biggest enemies, into our back door? Yes. And let's not forget, Iran has direct access into the heroin operations of Afghanistan and everywhere else in that region of the Middle East. I mean, it's no coincidence, in my opinion. Now, I don't have statistics to prove this or back it up, but if you look at, once we stopped the poppy field eradication programs in Afghanistan and throughout some of the Middle East, all of a sudden our heroin increases here in the United States. I mean, that's a big coincidence if you want to look at it, and all of it's coming through either ships coming to our ports, or it's coming through our southern border of Mexico. And this stance that he's taken, you know, tough on drugs, we're going to stop this. I mean, it sends a message to the rest of the region of, hey, he's not playing around. And just the fact that he might do something keeps him in check and keeps the cartels in check.
Angelo, folks want to find out more about your run for county commission or anything else, how can they do so?
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. I'm on all the social media platforms, and go to angelofermo.com. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I appreciate you allowing me to continue to serve. Thank you.
Angelo Fermo, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Coming over.